Bottom of the first inning, White Sox Park in Chicago. The Sox down by 1-1 already. Williams, the right fielder, will lead it off. He'll be followed by Buford and Wayne Causey. Game two, Sox won the opener by a score of 3-1 on a two-run homer in the bottom of the ninth by J.C. Martin, a pinch-hitting role, batting for McNerney. Sonny Siebert, a big, tall right-hander, winds in the first pitch of game two, is taken right down the pipe for strike one. Hinton in left, Demeter in center, Rocky Colavito in right. Infield for the Cleveland Indians, Albus, Larry Brown, the shortstop. The second baseman in game number two will be Fuller, and the first baseman will be Tony Horton. As cue behind the plate, Sonny Siebert winding in the pitch number two is popped out off to the right, and it's 0-2. Buford was 0-1 in game number one in a pinch hitting role. In the top of the sixth at St. Louis, the Cubs are down by 4-0. Bob Shaw came in to relieve Stoneman in about the second inning. Jaster has gone all the way for the Cards. California leads Boston 6-4. California batting in the seventh at Fenway Park in Boston. Pulling for those California Angels to come through with a victory tonight in Beantown. 0-2 pitch on its way to Walt Williams. Strike three, he knew it. Williams, the leadoff man, not Buford, as we said earlier. Here's Buford. Buford was, as we said, 0-1 in game number one. He will bat left-handed against the right-hander, Sonny Siebert. In case you tuned in late, Hoyt Wilhelm was the winner in game number one. And sudden Sam McDowell was the loser. McDowell went all the way against three White Sox pitchers. The pitch to Buford, taken for a ball, a little bit inside, ball one. Howard started. He was relieved by Locker in the fourth inning. And Wilhelm came on in the eighth inning to pick up the victory. Siebert looking down. The pitch to the plate. Swing and a miss, even at 1-1. We've got a crowd of about 18,000 here tonight. We were entertained during the between game interval tonight by the Music Chorale, a group of Southwest Side people. Soxagram with a reminder that Sonny Siebert is 0-1 versus the White Sox this year. Lifetime, he's 3-4 against the Southsiders. 1-1 pitch to the plate. Tried to bunt, popped it up. Pitcher's going to have it, and he takes it right about three steps to the right of the mound, and it's two outs. That'll bring up Causey. He was 0-3 in game one. Wayne batting third, playing second base.
Wayne has a third position, number nine. Second baseman, Wayne Causey.
In the California-Boston game, it's Newman for the Angels against Bob Lyle for the Red Sox. And as we've said, California is batting in the seventh, a big important game, up by 2-6-4 over the Red Sox at this time. And any scores that come in on that one, you can bet your neck will keep you up to date. Causey, a left-handed batter. Siebert taking a lot of time. It's going to be a long ball game, this game, too. Taken on the outside corner for a strike, strike one. A beautiful night. About 70 degrees in Chicago. The flags are limp. There is no wind. The humidity is not too high. It's a very pleasant night for baseball. Gene, how many hot dogs have you had tonight? About 13?
Four.
Only four. Well, it's only game two. We'll have to check you around the seventh inning stretch. Pitch to the plate, swinging a foul back, and it's 0-2.
Gross, in the sixth inning, the Cubs are still losing. 4-0.
4-0, as Leo's Lions have been tamed a little bit, at least so far tonight, by Larry Jaster. Elsewhere in the National League, Atlanta leads Cincinnati 1-0 in the bottom of the eighth at Atlanta. And Philadelphia leads Houston 3-1 in the bottom of the sixth at the Astrodome in Houston. Keep you up to date on all the scores throughout the night. The pitch to the plate, way inside and over his head. Had a duck out of the way. Really wasted one that time. And it's 1-2. New York and Minnesota are tied 1-1 in the 10th inning at New York. And that ball game, amazingly, both pitchers have gone all the way. Jim Cott for the Minnesota Twins. And for the New York Yankees, it's been Steve Womack. 10 innings. It must be a hot night in New York, I'm sure. Outside, And we're even at 2-2 to batter Wayne Causey here at Sox Park in Chicago. Kansas City and Washington are tied 5-5 in the bottom of the ninth at Washington. Causey's winging. Siebert has the sign. Right-hander fires and it's outside and we're full at 3-2. We had a fine fireworks show between games tonight. Gene Bossard's crew got out there real quick to clean up that outfield, and it looks beautiful out there, sparkling, a lot of room to roam. It swung around to the right on Causey. Full count pitch to the plate, swinging a fly ball. Center field, it's a short one. Three-man racing for it. Who's going to take it? It's going to be taken by center fielder Don Demeter. So for the White Sox in their half of the first inning, three up, three down, and the score at the end of one full inning in Chicago is the Cleveland Indians 1 and the Chicago White Sox nothing. You're listening to White Sox Baseball on WMAQ Radio, another NBC Sports exclusive. We go to the top of the second, Comiskey Park in Chicago, Illinois. Leading off will be the center fielder, Don Demeter. Real fine ball player. They got him along with Tony Horton in a deal with the Red Sox a few months ago. A deal that sent Gary Bell to the Boston Red Sox, and needless to say, if you follow baseball, Gary Bell has kept those Boston Red Sox in the thick of the pennant race in the American League. But Demeter and Tony Horton have done fine work for Joe Adcock and the boys at Cleveland, so I guess everybody's pretty happy with that deal. The Cubs have scored two runs in the sixth inning. They've cut that lead in half. It's St. Louis 4, Chicago 2, in the bottom of the sixth inning at St. Louis. No pitching change. Jaster is still in for the Cards.
Go, go.
You watch that game last night, Gino?
Yes, I did. Very interesting game. Very interesting indeed, especially when they win.
Right, that's for sure. A pitch and a foul off. Martin has looked like he was shaken up on that play, and everybody is running out. It looks as though that ball bounced up and may have gotten J.C. right under in the Adam's apple, right where that catcher's mask is. Is that the way it looked to you, Gene?
That's the way it looks to me. They're crowding around him out there now, and looks like he's getting up. He's on his knees, and the trainer's looking at him now.
Right, Larry Lickteiter's out there. Larry Lickteiter's out there. While we've got a break here, Gene, you want to come on in here and give us those scores?
Yeah, sure. The California Angels are leading the Boston Red Sox 5-4 in the seventh inning. At Baltimore, Detroit is canceled, rained out, something or other. Kansas City, Washington tied 5-5. And in New York, Minnesota, in the top of the 10th, 1-1, Minnesota batting.
Martin appears to be all right. He's staying in the ballgame. And for some reason, Tommy Agee has come out of the ballgame, and Jim King has gone in to play right field. Swinging a ground ball left side. Fine play. Throw across. They got him. Real nice play by Buford. Buford backed up on that ball and made a fine peg across to Pete Ward to get Demeter on a close play. We have no word as to why A.G. has come out of the ballgame, but Jim King has gone in to play right field. Barry has switched over to center, and Walt Williams is now in left. So the outfield left to right now reads Walt Williams, Ken Barry, and Jimmy King. Batter now is the second baseman, Bob Fuller, swinging a high pop-up left side. Hanson's going to have it and does. Two outs. That'll bring up shortstop Larry Brown. We were talking with Larry before the game tonight and asked him how his brother Dick Brown was. Of course, Dick, long a favorite of White Sox fans, and a fellow who's been around the American League for a long time. Of course, ran into some real bad luck last year when he had to have a brain operation and was forced out of the game. And right now we understand he's doing fine. He's teaching physical education in North Carolina. And we wish him a lot of luck in case he's listening along the White Sox baseball line anywhere down there. The first pitch to Brown is taken low, ball one. Second baseman is playing very close to the bag for Brown. Taken outside, ball two. Soxogram with a welcome to the Kemper Insurance Foundation of Schiller Park. They're here, 50 strong. Mr. Hodo just walked in with a chicken dinner. Gina, you can eat that all yourself? You'd be ashamed of yourself.
If you can help me, you certainly can, but if you touch it, I'll break your fingers.
How about that? Boy, they've got finger-licking chicken here at the Sox Park picnic area. Ball one, and a swing and a foul back into the screen, and it's two balls and a strike.
Don't touch it, Bruce. Don't touch it.
Oh, boy, that's great stuff, boy. During my break, I'm going to go down to Rudy's steakhouse and get about 13 of them just to stay even with you. And you've got to put on about 40 pounds during the season, you know that?
Me and Boudreaux.
Two balls and a strike, swinging a foul back again, and we're even at 2-2. To Larry Brown, the shortstop. Two out, second inning. Cleveland on top by one, 1-0. Wilbur Wood on the mound.
You notice the big hole in right center, Bruce.
Right, they're giving him a lot of room, and they're giving him that right field line. If he should slice one down the right field line, Jim King would have to run a mile to catch up with it.
He's a notorious pull hitter. On that line.
They certainly are not. The pitch was inside for a ball and we're full at 3-2. You could park a battleship between Jim King and that right field line. Brown would have an easy triple if he should slice one down there. But let's not think about such nasty things. 6-4, bottom of the seventh at Boston. California still on top. Swinging a ground ball, left side. Knocked down by Buford. Fires. It's going to be close. They got him. Nice play by Buford. Buford knocked the ball down, made a complete turn, and fired to Pete Wardle. Made a real nice play in the inning. Three up, three down for the Clevelandians. And the score as we go to the White Sox half of number two is Cleveland 1 and the White Sox nothing. Say, are you a label reader? Well, you know, most people aren't. Mainly because most labels are pretty dull reading. Not Budweiser, however. There's something special about that Bud label. The Anheuser-Busch people are proud of the fact that they take the extra time and expense to bring you a beer that's beechwood aged and naturally carbonated. And that's why they like to talk about it right there on the label. They think you just might be interested in knowing what makes Budweiser so satisfying and so good. And of course, if you're not the curious type when it comes to beer and reading labels, if you know what you like and why you like it, and especially if you know that's Budweiser, well, that's good enough for us. Because one taste tells you all you really need to know about Bud. Something every beer drinker already knows. It's worth it. It's Budweiser. All right, bottom of the second inning. Pete Ward will lead it off. Pete drove in the Sox tie-breaking run in the eighth inning of game number one, a game which the Sox won, in case you were not tuned. On a two-run homer by J.C. Martin as a pinch hitter in the bottom of the ninth inning. Hoyt Wilhelm picked up the victory. Come on, Pete, let's get something started here. Siebert seems to be taking some extra tosses here for some reason. Defensively, Horton is in left field, Demeter in center, Rocky Colavito in right. Third baseman is Alvis. Shortstop is Larry Brown. Second baseman is Bobby Fuller. First baseman, Tony Horton. Joe Askew behind the plate. And the double S, Sonny Siebert, Mr. Superman, last year of this Cleveland staff.
On the mound. Number eight, first baseman, Pete Ward.
You heard it. That's Pete Ward, the announcement by Tates Johnson, the old Andy Frayne fella. Great guy. Had lunch with him in the Bard's room the other day, and he told some stories that really bring the sentimental touch to baseball. We need more Tates Johnsons. Ward will be followed by Barry and Jim King. So we've got the 4-5 and 6 men in Eddie Stanky's batting order tonight. Strike one, the count to Pistol Pete. A little bit inside, it is just missed, and it's even at a ball and a strike. There are no changes in any other scores. California leads Boston 6-4 in the bottom of the seventh at Boston. Kansas City and Washington tied 5-5. Minnesota and New York tied 1-1 in the 10th inning at New York.
And the Cubs are in the 7th inning, and they're batting, and they're still losing 4-2, but they're coming up fast.
They certainly are. We understand we're in constant contact with that game at Busch Stadium, and we understand the Cardinals have someone throwing, and we don't know what that means. It's taken outside, ball, two balls and a strike. The Cleveland Indians, who many experts said would challenge for the American League flag this year under Joe Adcock, and so far it has just not materialized. They've got all the talent on paper, but they just have not been able to gel. 2-0 to Pete, a left-handed batter, takes a mighty swing and a miss, and it's 2-2. You look over that outfield, they've got some real rockers. They've got a few guys on the bench who can really belt the ball, too. Freddie Whitfield, Vic D'Avelio, Gonzalez, Lee May, Leon Wagner. Some real bombers. Swinging a foul back into the screen, and it's still 2-2. Right now, let's pause for station identification. This is the Chicago White Sox Baseball Network. This is WMAQ Radio Chicago, the morning home of Henry Cook on 670 Radio.